प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पश्चात चिशतारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु निचानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्री वासुदि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे. You see, the mood of the Jayanilo Premadana is similar because it says, no, where is Lord Chaitanya? Where are the six Goswamis? Kotha. No, he's asking, where are they? And here on this last verse also, he was saying, no, Kotha. Where is Krishna? Where is Lalita? Where is Radharani? Well, they can't find them. And when Prabhupada met with George Harrison, and George Harrison was presenting some of his songs, Prabhupada was teaching him how to write songs. And there was a song that, now, where are you, Krishna? And Prabhupada said, yeah, you got the right mood. We don't find Krishna, we're looking for Krishna. Where is Krishna? So this Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, Madhya Lila chapter 8, text number 224. This is not an easy verse to chant, so I'm going to do alone. Nibrita marum manuksha dhrita yoga yujo hridiyam munaya upasati tad arayopi jayus maranat striyaura gendra bhoga bhujadanda vishakti dhiyo vayam apite samahasamudrishum gri sarujasudha. Nibrita, control, Marut, the life air, Manaha, the mind, Aksha, senses, Dridha, strong, Yoga, in the mystic yoga process, Yujaha, who are engaged, Pridi, within the heart, Yat, who? Munayaha, the great sages, Upasati, worship, Tat, that, Arayaha, the enemies, Api, also, Yayu, obtain, Smaranat, from remembering, Striyaha, the gopis, Uraga Indra, of serpents, Bhoga, like the bodies, Bhuja, the arms, Danda, like rods, Vishakta, fastened to, Dhyaha, whose minds, Vayamapi, we also, Te, your, Samaha, equal to them, Sammadrishaha, having the same ecstatic emotions, Angri Saroja, of the lotus feet, Sudaha, the nectar. Please repeat. Great sages conquer the mind and senses by practicing the mystic yoga system and controlling the breath, thus engaging in mystic yoga. They see the super soul within their hearts and ultimately enter into impersonal Brahma. But even the enemies of the Supreme Personality of Godhead attain that position simply by thinking of the Supreme Lord. However, the damsels of Raja, the gopis, being attracted by the beauty of Krishna, simply wanted to embrace him and his arms, which are like serpents. Thus the gopis ultimately tasted the nectar of the lotus feet of the Lord. Similarly, we Upanishads can also taste the nectar of his lotus feet by following in the footsteps of the gopis. So there is no purport here, but there is a very long purport on 1087.23 of Bhagavatam. So I'm going to read that. It's a really nice purport. Just in case you don't know, I would like to give a little history here on the Bhagavatam. Because when Gopiparanadana was assisting with Ananda Maharaj translating the Bhagavatam, I developed some friendship with him because I was temple president of the Tohaku Temple in New Jersey, and Gopiparanadana was there. So we became friends. And then we maintained correspondence throughout the years. So I asked him to give me a background on the Bhagavatam, how it was done and what was his participation. And he said that at one point, Hridayananda Maharaj requested him, because he was preparing, translating the commentaries of different acharyas and giving to Hridayananda Maharaj. Hridayananda Maharaj was putting the whole thing together, giving the final touch. But at one point, Hridayananda Maharaj requested him to write the commentaries. And he said he didn't want to do. Hridayananda Maharaj insisted, and he did. So the last 11 chapters of the 10th canto, he wrote the purports. And this is one of them that he wrote. Gopiparanadana. The translation, although means the same thing, it is composed a little different. The translation is, simply by constantly thinking of him, the enemies of the Lord attained the same supreme truth whom sages fixed in yoga worship by controlling their breath, mind and senses. Similarly, we Shrutis, who generally see you as all-pervading, will achieve the same nectar from your lotus feet that your consorts are able to relish because of their loving attraction to your mighty serpentine arms. For you look upon us and your consorts in the same way. Purport. According to Acharya Srila Jiva Goswami, the few Shrutis, such as the Gopala Tapani Upanishad, who identified the coward boy Krishna with absolute Brahman in its highest aspect, had so far been patiently waiting for their turn to speak. So, look, many of them were speaking, and the Upanishads were waiting when it's going to come our turn to talk. But after hearing the other Shrutis offer prayers, openly glorifying the Lord's personality, these intimate Shrutis could no longer contain themselves, and so they spoke out of turn in this verse. They decided to let me go ahead and ahead of everybody. Actually, sometimes great leaders do like this. There is in history, there's a very modern history, there's a really nice example like this. I don't know if you know a great leader, that he went ahead of everybody and took a major initiative. Does anybody know? Let me give you a hint. It was in Africa. Nelson Mandela. Yeah. Because he used to work with a group of people, and they would take decisions together. But at one time, he decided to negotiate with the people in charge of the government and take initiatives on his own. And he said that sometimes a bird has to fly ahead of its flock. And it worked. His process worked, actually. You know, there are other examples. And so here, there's a precedent in history, in the Vedic history. So the Upanishad has decided that we're not going to wait for anybody else. We are going to go ahead here. So followers of the path of mystic yoga subdue their senses and minds by practicing breath control and severe austerities. If they succeed in thoroughly purifying themselves by this regimen, they may eventually begin to realize the Paramatma, the personal form of Brahman within the heart. And if they continue this meditation without deviation for a long time, they may in the end come to the point of true God consciousness. But the same objective achieved in this difficult and uncertain way was also attained by the demons who were killed by Lord Krishna during his past times on the earth. Obsessed with enmity toward him, demons like Kansa and Shishupala quickly obtained the perfection of liberation simply by killing them, by Krishna killing them. Speaking for themselves, however, the personified Vedas here state that they would prefer to develop love of Godhead by learning to emulate the favorable surrender of Lord Krishna's confidential devotees. So they would rather take the path of Krishna's devotees than the demons. Especially the young gopis of Raja, though they appeared to be simple women attracted conjugally to the Lord's physical beauty and strength, the goddesses of Raja exhibited the highest perfection of meditation. The Shrutis wished to become just like them. In this regard, Lord Brahma relates the following historical account in the supplement of the Brihad Vamana Purana. Brahmananda mayo loko vyapi vaikunta samgyataha taulokash vashi tatrasthai stutu vedai parat paraha. The infinite world of spiritual bliss is called Vaikuntha. There the Supreme Truth lives, being glorified by the personified Vedas, who are also present there. Chidam stu tva tatas tushtaha paruksham prahatam gira tushtu ismi bruta bho pragya paramyam manasipshitam. Once, after the Vedas had elaborately praised him, the Lord felt especially satisfied. He spoke to them in a voice whose source remained invisible. Open quote. My dear sages, I'm very satisfied with you. Please ask of me some benediction that you secretly desire. Close quote. Shrutaya ucho yatha tao lokavashinyaha kamata tvena gopikaha bhajanti ramanam matva tiki risha jani nastataha. The Shrutis replied, we have developed the desire to become like the coward women of the mortal world who, inspired by lust, worship you in the mood of a lover. Shri Bhagavan Muvacha Durlabho Durgathaschaiva Yushmakam Samanorataha Maya Numodita Samyak Satyu Bhavitum Arhatit. The Lord then said, this desire of yours is difficult to fulfill. Indeed, it is almost impossible. But since I am sanctioning it, your wish must inevitably come true. Agamini. You see, this is a very difficult thing to do. And sometimes we see that people cheaply, they want to get into the mood of the gopis. That's why Srila Bhaktivinoda and Srila Bhaktisiddhanta were so much against this during the time when they are on the planet because of the sahajiyas, were cheaply thinking, oh, I became a gopi. You know? And Krishna here is saying that the Lord then said, this desire of yours is difficult to fulfill. Indeed, it's almost impossible. But Krishna could give the blessing, but not cheaply. Agamini virancho tu jate shri stiarthamudite kalpam saha shvatam prapya vraje gopyo bhavishyataha. When the next Brahma takes birth to faithfully execute his duties of creation, and when the day of his life called the Saraswata Kalpa arrives, you will all appear in Vraja as gopis. Prithivyam bharatikshetri maturi mama mandali prindavani bhavishyami preyam vo rasa mandali. On the earth, in the land of Bharata, in my own district of Mathura, in the forest of Vrindavan, so Krishna is quite specific, no? I will become your beloved in the circle of the rasa dance. Jaradharmena susneham sudhridam sarvatodhikam mai samprapya sarvipi krita kritya bhavishyata. Thus obtaining me as your paramour, you will all gain the most exalted and steadfast pure love for me. And in this way, you will fulfill all your ambitions. Brahmavacha. Shrutvaitat Chintayam chasta rupam bhagavatasthiram ukta kalam samasadya gopya bhutva harim gataha. Lord Brahma said, after hearing these words, the Shrutis meditating on the personality of Goddess beauty for a long time. When the designated time ultimately arrived, they became gopis and obtained the association of Krishna. A similar account can be found in the Shristi Kanda of the Padma Purana, which describes how the Gayatri Mantra also became a gopi. Regarding the development of bhakti, Lord Krishna further states in the Gopala Tapani Upanishad Uttara 4, Aputa puto bhavati yam mam smritva avrati vrati bhavati yam mam smritva nishkamaha sakamu bhavati yam mam smritva ashrutri shrutri bhavati yam mam smritva. Open quotes. By remembering me, one who is impure becomes pure. By remembering me, one who follows no vows becomes a strict follower of vows. By remembering me, one who is desireless develops desires to serve me. By remembering me, one who has studied no Vedic mantras becomes an expert knower of the Vedas. Close quotes. The Brihadaranyaka Upanishad 4.5.6 refers to the gradual steps in the process of becoming Krishna conscious. Atma va are drashtavyaha shrutavyo mantavyo nididhyashitavyaha. Open quotes. It is the self which must be observed, heard about, thought of, and meditated upon and fixed with fixed concentration. Close quotes. The idea here is that one should realize the Supreme Self as directly visible in his full personality by the following means. First, one should hear the instructions of a qualified representative of the Paramatma and take the words of such a spiritual master into one's heart by offering him humble service and striving in all ways to please him. One should then ponder the divine message of the spiritual master continuously with the aim of dispelling all one's doubts and misconceptions. Then one can proceed to meditate on the Supreme Lord's lotus feet with total conviction and determination. This reminds me of Prabhupada keeping that order of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta throughout his life, that one should then ponder the divine message of the spiritual master continuously with the aim of dispelling all one's doubts and misconceptions. So-called gyanis may think that the Upanishads praise nirvishesha, impersonal, realization of the Supreme, as more complete and final than Shavishesha, personal worship of the Supreme Godhead. All honest Vaishnavas, however, join in adhering to the devotional service of the Supreme Lord, always meditating with pleasure on His infinitely wonderful, variegated spiritual qualities. In the words of the Shruti Mantras, Yam evaisha vrinute tena labhyas tasyaisha atma vivrinute tanumswam. Open quotes. To that person whom the Supreme Soul chooses, he becomes attainable. To that person, the Supreme Soul reveals his personal form. Close quotes. Katha Upanishad 1.2.23 and Mundaka Upanishad 3.2.3. Srila Sridhar Swami concludes with the prayer, Charana ismaranam premna tava deva sudulabham yatha katham chid nri hare mama bhuyad ahar nishan. O Lord, loving remembrance of your lotus feet is very rarely achieved. Please, O Nrihari, somehow arrange for me to have that remembrance day and night. Jai. This is a really nice purport. Can you imagine how much work it takes to compile this and going to different scriptures and collecting all the information? It's like fascinating. All glories to this Vaishnavas. I would like to speak now about Sanatana Goswami. Because he's such, you know, an exalted Vaishnava, and there's so much to say about him. Sanatana Goswami, he was born in 1488, this Christian era calendar. And his Samadhi Tom is next to the old Radha Ramana Mohan temple in Vrindavan. Do you know the Radha Madan Mohan temple is the one that had that big dome? And actually, there's a really nice pastime that Prabhupada, before he had come to America, and even before he had joined the Gaudiya Matha, this is in that book from Mula Prakriti Mataji. He went to this temple once, and he stayed 1 or 2 weeks. The pujari of the temple is describing this. So Abhai Charam came and he stayed for 1 or 2 weeks. And the pujari said that one thing that was very interesting during this time is that, you know, when people go to Vrindavan, they go to Govardhan, they go to the Jamuna, they go to Loi Bazaar, and they go to Loi Bazaar, and they go to Loi Bazaar. You know, the Loi Bazaar is very popular. But when Prabhupada went to this temple, during all this time, he didn't leave the temple. He stayed there. And during all the time, he was always chanting japa. And the pujari noticed that people would come and go, and Prabhupada was just there chanting, completely focused. He didn't do anything else. He was completely absorbed in the chanting. You know. So, he left this world on the full moon day of Ashar in the Sakha era 1480 or 1558, which means that he lived for 70 years. There are different accounts of his departure. And he comes, you know, there is a family lineage description done by Srila Jiva Goswami, who was his nephew. Jiva Goswami was the nephew of Sanatana Goswami. So he mentions that their family lineage, beginning with Sri Sarva, who was a Yajurvedi Brahmana, Bharadwaja Gotriya, from Karnataka. His son, I believe this is in Bangladesh, no? No? South India. But Sanatana Goswami was born in Bangladesh, where today is Bangladesh. Yeah. His son was Sri Aniruddha Deva, who had two sons, Sri Rupeshwara and Sri Harihar Deva. There was apparently some altercation between the two brothers, who had different mothers. Aniruddha Deva had two wives. And as a result of which, Sri Rupeshwara, along with his wife and 8 horses, came to Palatsya Desha, where he was befriended by the ruler of that land, Sri Shekareshwar. Sri Padmanabha Deva, the son of Sri Rupeshwar, was extremely learned in all the Vedas. He came with his family to live at Naihati on the banks of the Ganga. He had 8 daughters and 5 sons. His 5 sons, following in the footsteps of their predecessors, were very expert in the study of the Vedas. Their names were Purushottama, Jagannatha, Narayana, Murari, and Mukunda Deva. Mukunda Deva's son, Sri Kumara Deva, being oppressed by some of the other family members, came to live at Bakla Chandra Dwip. Sri Kumara Deva had many sons, amongst whom Sri Amar Sanatana, Sri Santosh, Sri Rupa, and Sri Vallabha Anupama were great devotees. Born in a Sarasvata Brahmana family, son of Kumara Deva, with the birth name of Sri Amar, some say his name, birth name was Santosh. In Jessore, now Bangladesh, in 1488. And Sanat and his 2 brothers, Rupa and Anupama, were always absorbed in Bhava Bhakti from early childhood. So they were so absorbed that they, in their neighborhood, they named the names of the forests as the names of the forests in Vrindavan. And there were some lakes also in the area, so they named the lakes as Radhakunda and Shamakunda. They used to go from forest to forest playing the Krishna's pastimes since their childhood. And other great Vaishnavas, they glorify the talent of Sanatana Goswami and his greatness. Raghunatha Das Goswami has glorified Sanatana Goswami as follows in his Vilapa Kushumanjali, number 6. I was unwilling to drink the nectar of devotional service possessed of renunciation, But Sanatana Goswami, out of his causeless mercy, made me drink it. This looks like the past time that Prabhupada said that he did not want to go and see his spiritual master. He did not want to go. But his friend, Narendra Nath, practically forced him. And once at 22nd Avenue, Prabhupada was asking Brahmananda, how did you join? Even Prabhupada was curious to know how the devotees joined. And Brahmananda said, oh, Prabhupada, I did not want to come to see you. But a friend of mine, he practically forced me. And Prabhupada said, oh, the same with me. No, in those days there was no lilamrit or anything. My friend forced me to go to see my master. So here, it looks like it's a similar situation. I wasn't willing to drink the nectar of devotional service, possessed of renunciation. But Sanatana Goswami, out of his causeless mercy, made me drink it, even though I was unable to do so. Therefore, he is an ocean of mercy. He is very much compassionate to fallen souls like me. And thus, it is my duty to offer my respectful obeisances unto his lotus feet and take shelter of him. So it says, in the Sri Sri Sad Goswami Astaka, that gives some of these qualities of Sanatana Goswami. Dhira dhira jana priyo priyakaro nirmatsaro pudito. That he was, the Goswamis, they were dear to dhira dhira, to the saintly people, dhira and adhira. Adhira means all the other folks, the drunkards, prostitutes, you name it. Dhira dhira jana priyo. Priyo means they were dear to all these people. Why they were dear to them? Nirmatsaro pudito. Because they were not envious of anybody. They had no envy of anybody. As we were singing that verse, Shinityananda Paramananda, what was this again? Akroda Paramananda Nityananda Raya. The Nityananda was Akroda. He had no anger. He was always peaceful. And you can see, because if somebody is angry, it's very easy to make enemies. If you are angry, you're going to make a lot of enemies if you're always angry. But if you're peaceful, people are going to like him. I remember after leaving the temple for 11 years, I went to work outside in a karmic company. In the temple, you learn how to be humble, and I was living in the Brahmachari ashram. You learn how to be humble and submissive. And suddenly, I come to an American company, and I was living on a farm in Brazil for 4 years. Far from civilization. Suddenly I'm in Manhattan and I joined a major corporation, a major investment bank with people driven for money. And I'm very humble and I'm very meek and very submissive with everybody and I do everything. And one day one top executive called me on the side. I need to talk to you. This is going to take you nowhere. They're just going to walk all over you. You've got to change. You got to be more aggressive. You have to learn how to say no. So I had to learn from him. No, he knew the business. I didn't know anything. But if you were angry, if you were submissive, everybody was liking me actually, because they were using me for everything, to do all kinds of work. But if you're angry, nobody's going to like it. So then their childhood, the brothers Sanatana and Rupa, they named the forest Tamal, Kelikadamba, and they also had tulsi trees that surrounded the neighborhoods. And the ponds they named Shamakunda and Radhakunda. And in this way, they were constantly worshipping Krishna. And then in their youth, when Sri Sanatana Goswami was still young, he had an unusual dream. In that dream, a Brahmana came to him. And the Brahmana gave to him a Srimad Bhagavatam in the dream. But when he woke up, he felt depressed because there was no Brahmana and there was no Srimad Bhagavatam. But a couple of days later, a Brahmana came and gave him a Bhagavatam. An actual Brahmana came and gave him a Bhagavatam and told him, take this Bhagavat, always study it, and all perfection will be yours. And saying this, the Brahmana left the Bhagavatam with him and disappeared. And Sanatana Goswami took it very seriously. And throughout his life, He was studying the Srimad Bhagavatam. You know, and Prabhupada was very fond of studying the Bhagavatam also. Prabhupada, his son, Vrindavan Chandra Des, said that Prabhupada used to study, even family life, used to study the Bhagavatam 4 hours a day. That's a lot of study, by the way. You know, 4 hours a day. No wonder why he knew so much. And it's amazing. Sometimes you listen to some of Prabhupada's class, you say, my God, you know, can somebody tell him to stop quoting the mantras? Because he has all the mantras in his head. It's amazing. You know? Oh, he has so much in his head. Fascinating. And this and that, and goes back and forth. You know? Prabhupada is just fascinating. So upon receiving the treasure of the holy Bhagavatam, Sri Sanatana's ecstasy knew no bounds. From that day on, Sri Sanatana would only study the Bhagavata, leaving aside all the scriptures, knowing the Bhagavata to be the essence of all the scriptures. Sanatana Goswami wrote about the Bhagavatam in his Krishna Lila Stava, O holy Bhagavata, you are my only company, my only friend, and my guru. You are my greatest treasure, my personal savior, the emblem of my highest fortune, the very form of ecstasy. I offer my obeisances unto you. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati once said that if all the books in all the libraries of the world were burnt to ashes, there would be no loss if the Srimad Bhagavatam remained. And in relation to the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita, he said, if there is a flood and you have to run, and you can only take a few things with you, yeah. You can leave all other books and everything else, but take the Srimad Bhagavatam and the Chaitanya Charitamrita. However, if you can only take one book, then you can even leave Srimad Bhagavatam, but you take the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita with you. And when Prabhupada came to America, which book did he bring with him to read? You know, people go on trip, you go on a plane, they pull their book, they bring their book to read, you know, a novel, something, you know, the man lost his woman, you know, something like that. What did Prabhupada bring with him? The Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And he was reading. That was his consolation, was to read the Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita. And then, there's the education of Sri Sanatana Goswami. Sri Sanatana Goswami was a very accomplished scholar. Actually, he knew many languages. And he not only knew the Vedic scriptures, he was versed in the Quran. He was versed in the Bible. He knew it all. He could discuss anything. They were the crest jewels, Sanatana and Rupa, of the Gaudiya Vaishnava scholars. Their teacher in philosophy and scripture had been the brother of the great, who? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Was the brother of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Vidyavachaspati, who taught Sanatana Goswami all the Vedic scriptures. Vidyavachaspati would often stay in Ramakeli. Is Ramakeli in Bangladesh also?
West Bengal?
Then there's the professional life. You know, there was this Hussein Shah, and Hussein Shah was the king. No, king is a conception of king because at this time in India, if you read, now each state had a king. What would be a governor here would be a king there for each state. You know, so the king, Hussein Shah, heard about these two brothers that they are extremely intelligent people. And he said, they like companies now. Now, when companies, they go to colleges, they hear about this student is very brilliant, they want to hire him. So, the king heard about this very brilliant young man, and he said, I want you to work for me. So, they did not actually want to work for him, because he was a Muslim, and he was against the Brahminical principles. Not very friendly with the Brahmanas, he would eat meat, agree with the killing of cows. However, you know, on those days, and even in some place today, you know, if you don't agree, you know, your head may roll in the head of all your family members. You know, so out of concern, For them and their family members, said it's better that we accept the position. No? Having heard their glories, the Shah wanted to appoint them to position in his kingdom. Out of fear of the Yavana king, they were forced to accept. At that time, it was not unusual for Hindus to accept posts in the government of the Muslim king. Sanatana became known as Sakara Malik and was appointed private secretary. Mulik means Lord and was a title often given by the Muslims to respectable and wealthy families with intimate government ties. Rupa became known as Dabir Kash and was appointed as revenue officer and secretary of treasury. So they had big positions. And Hussein Shah was the king of Gwalior. Sri Vallabha or Anupama was chief superintendent of the royal mint. So even the brother, younger brother, the father of Jiva Goswami, was also appointed to a high position. They were rewarded by the Shah for their services, who saw to it that they were giving great riches. So they became very wealthy working for him. They earned a lot of money. But Prabhupada says that both, this is directly from Prabhupada's purport, both Dabir Kash and Sakar Malika belonged to the Brahmana caste, but because they were employed by Muslims, their original habits degenerated into those of the Muslim community. Since the symptoms of Brahminical culture were almost nil, they identified themselves with the lowest caste. In the Bhakti Ratnakara, it is clearly stated that because Sakara Malika and Dabir Kash associated with lower class men, they introduced themselves as belonging to the lower class. When they introduced themselves to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they had the straw in their mouth and they had a cloth around their neck, tied around their neck. That was a sign of humility. And they offered dandavats to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And they said, "We are very low. Now we came to see you because we were very eager to have your association. But we are very low. We're the lowest of men. Because we associated with the lowest of men. Even Jagai and Madai are not so low as we are. Because Jagai and Madai, because they were drunkards. But Prabhupada explains that they had some good things going for themselves besides that. And they did not accept employment with people of lower caste that were involved in killing animals and doing other abominable things. So the two Goswamis, Sanatana and Rupa, said, "We are even lower than them. And they could easily be rectified by you. But that's not our case," they're saying. So they felt very ashamed of their position. And because when you get employed by somebody like this, you end up getting involved. And I have my own experience that when I got a job at this company, before that, I never actually ate outside. I would never eat anything outside cooked by karmis. But then, part of my job is that I had to go out regularly and take my clients to lunch and dinner and attend parties with them. Why can I tell them, I'm a Hare Krishna, I cannot eat anything outside. So I was very concerned, and not only this, I had to pay for the meal with my card for all the meat and everything. And then the company would reimburse me. And then I was getting very depressed. So I went to Sridhar Swami, the ISKCON sannyasi that left his body, who was my very close friend. I said, I'm feeling very, very bad because I have to do these things. And I'm wondering what kind of reaction I'm going to get. He said, "No, you don't have to worry." He said, "Krishna understands your mind, your intentions. You can do in peace and you don't have to worry. You're protected by Krishna." But that made me feel better. Because I had the job, I needed the money, and so I did that. But naturally, you get involved with them. They are eating meat side by side with you, talking all their nonsense and drinking. And I ran in all kinds of strange situations. And then you go to a restaurant, you said you were vegetarian. And it's complicated, but they may bring something that they think it's vegetarian and it's not. And then eventually I decided to tell them that I'm a vegan. That would work better, And even sometimes when there was a big event and a big table, I would put a sign like this in front of the table. "I am a vegan." So then when the waitress was serving, they would know that they would not serve me something that wasn't vegan. But I sympathize, no, I relate to the situation here. So they were involved with the Hussein Shah, and Hussein Shah, they gave an order. Now you're going to do this. No, we need to move this 10,000 cows from here to there. And who knows what's going to happen to them. And they were in charge, they had to do it. They had to do things that probably they didn't want to do. You know? So Srila Rupa and Sanatana made their headquarters in Ramakeli, which had been established as the capital of Bengal in 1486 by Sultan Barbak. At present, Ramakeli is located in Malda district of West Bengal, near the border of Bengal on the Ganges, and is about 5 miles from the Malda railway station. Ramakeli was also the home of many famous devotees, including Sri Nrisimha, the son of Advaita Acharya. So, during this time when they were serving the Hussein Shah, they maintained their ties with the Vaishnava community. And many Brahmanas would come and visit them and even stay with them. And actually, there is that famous pastimes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that during their professional life, Sanatana one day sent a message to the king saying that I am sick. He called in sick. I can't go to work. You know? There's that nice pastime also that a follower of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Sarasvati, he came to visit Siddhanta Sarasvati for a few days. And then after some time, he had to go. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta said, why do you have to go? Oh, because I have to go back to work. I took a few days off. No. Send a message. Tell them that you are sick. And the man became outraged because he thought, how can I tell them I'm sick? I'm healthy. I would be lying to them. And he never came back. And after some time, one disciple of Srila Siddhanta Sarasvati went to see him and said that he stormed into his house and preaching very heavily. Why do you think of this of the Mahabhagavat? He is right when he told you to call in and say that you were sick. We are not mundane philosophers. You had the rare opportunity of associating with them, and you should have called in sick to be able to maintain his association. So Sanatana Goswami in youth, he called in sick. He said, I'm sick. I cannot go. And then the king sent his doctor. The doctor went there and came back and said, no, he's completely healthy. He's only there reading Srimad Bhagavatam with many of his friends. Then the king went there himself. So everybody stood up, offered respect, and said, why you lie to me? Said, oh, I can no longer serve you. It's a very risky thing to say. Yeah. So, and then there's a whole story behind that. There's not much more time to... There's so much more about them, but there was the purport and... But then just one thing to finalize, because it's almost 9:10. So Rupa Goswami decided to go and see Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Sanatana Goswami was in jail. And eventually he was able to get out of jail by bribing the jailkeeper with thousands of gold coins. And then he went after Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Not on that first meeting, but on a follow-up meeting, he was initiated by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with Rupa Goswami. At that meeting, he received initiation, direct initiation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the name of Sanatana Goswami and Rupa Goswami. And they were told to just go and preach Krishna consciousness. Let me just read a little bit about this and we are going to finish. In great humility, both brothers took bunches of straw between their teeth, and each, binding a cloth around his neck, fell down like rods before the Lord. Upon seeing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the two brothers were overwhelmed with joy, and out of humility, they began to cry. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu asked them to get up and assured them of all good fortune. The two brothers got up, and again, taking a straw between their teeth, they humbly offered their prayers with folded hands. Open quotes, all glories to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the most merciful savior of the fallen souls. All glories to the Supreme Personality. Sir, we belong to the lowest class of men, and our associates and employment are also of the lowest type. Therefore, we cannot introduce ourselves to you. We feel very much ashamed standing here before you. Dear Lord, let us inform you that no one is more sinful than us, nor is there any offender like us. Even if we wanted to mention our sinful activities, we would immediately become ashamed, and what we speak of giving them up. The two brothers submitted. Dear Lord, you have incarnated to deliver the fallen souls. You should consider that in this world there is none so fallen as us. You have delivered the two brothers, Jagai and Madai, but to deliver them, you did not have to exert yourself very much. The brothers Jagai and Madai belonged to the Brahmana caste, and their residence was in the holy place of Navadvipa. They never served low-class persons, nor were they instruments to abominable activities. Jagai and Madai had but one fault. They were addicted to sinful activity. However, volumes of sinful activity can be burned to ashes simply by a dim reflection of the chanting of your holy name. Jagai and Madai uttered your holy name by way of blaspheming you. Fortunately, that holy name became the cause of their deliverance. We too are millions and millions of times inferior to Jagai and Madai. Gee, how many millions then are we? Me. We are more degraded, fallen and sinful than they. Actually, we belong to the case of meat-eaters because we are servants of meat-eaters. Indeed, our activities are exactly like those of meat-eaters. Because we always associate with such people, we are inimical toward the cows and brahmanas. The two brothers, Sakara Malik and Abir Kas, very humbly submitted that due to their abominable activities, they were now bound by the neck and hands and had been thrown into the ditch filled with abominable, stool-like objects of material sense enjoyment. They said, "No one within the three worlds is sufficiently powerful to deliver us. You are the only savior of the fallen souls. Therefore, there is no one but you. If you simply deliver us by your transcendental strength, then certainly your name will be known as Patita Pavana, the Savior of the fallen souls. Let us speak one word that is very true. Plainly hear us, O merciful one. There is no other object of mercy within the three worlds but us. We are the most fallen. Therefore, by showing us your mercy is most successful. Let the power of your mercy be exhibited throughout the entire universe." And they go on and on. It's amazing how many prayers just to obtain the mercy of the Lord. And then the Lord says, "My dear Sakara Malik, from this day your names will be changed to Srila Rupa Goswami and Srila Sanatana Goswami." And all the devotees were there. Haribo! Because Nityananda Prabhu was there, Haridas Thakur was there, many devotees were there. They all said, "Haribo." And then he said, "Now please, abandon your humility. My heart is breaking to see you so humble. You have written several letters showing your humility. I can understand your behavior from those letters. By your letters, I could understand your heart. Therefore, in order to teach you, I send you one verse, which reads as follows. If a woman is attached to a man other than her husband, she will appear very busy in carrying out her household affairs. But within her heart, she is always relishing feelings of association with her paramour. I really had no business in coming to Bengal, but I have come just to see you two brothers." So, came just to see them. That's why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came, to see them and give them initiation. Haribol. I'm going to end here. There's much more. There's the literary contribution, so many books of Sanatana Goswami, and so much more to say. But we're going to stop here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srila Sanatana Goswami ki jai. Anyway.